You're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick and Audrey Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello there. It is Tuesday night and 7 o'clock in Los Angeles. Welcome to Mainstream Metaphysics. I'm Nick Newmont.
And I'm Audrey Newmont. So nice to have you join us.
We have an interesting show for you tonight. And first thing is, though, we have new moon coming up this coming Sunday, Aries new moon, and it hits at 7:31 p.m. on the West Coast, 10:30 on the East Coast. And I guess I have to learn how to tell time. So the thing about the Aries new moon is that there are a cluster of planets, you know, with this new moon. And getting everything going. There we go. It's a matter of getting Facebook Live going and the watch party and all that. So this Aries new moon, the sun and the moon will be together at a little more than 22 degrees of Aries. And then Venus is at 26 degrees of Aries. So we have a stellium in Aries. And so where new moons are always about new beginnings, Aries is the first house of the zodiac. So this is really about new beginnings. But this new moon is about your relationship with yourself. We look so many times at the new moon and the full moon and how we're interacting with others or what we're doing with the environment, relationships, work, money. But this is a time to make a fresh start with you. And that means checking into your ego, whether your ego is up or down, and looking at, you know, your energy. Where are you putting your energy? Aries is ruled by Mars, all right? And so with this stellium of the sun, which is your self-expression, the moon, your feelings, your emotions, and Venus in Aries, you know, one of the things that people are going to be looking at is a little bit of, am I good enough? Am I doing good enough? Or is there a little bit of, is the grass greener on the other side? Because when Venus is in Aries, and of course, Venus does go around the zodiac frequently enough that there are a lot of people that are born with Venus in the sign of Aries, and that's referred to as the hunter. So people that have Venus in Aries have a tendency to have a wandering eye. It doesn't mean they'll cheat, doesn't mean they're unfaithful, but they could be, you know, in a restaurant having dinner with their other half, and someone walks in and the eyes go like that, and they look over, which is disconcerting to the person that they're with. They're not going to do anything about it, but, you know, that's what Venus in Aries is.
But what if you just have a wandering eye because you just find them attractive? You like beautiful looking people. You like interesting looking people, because I have a bit of a wandering eye.
But that's you notice people.
Yeah.
Venus in Aries is always got a comparison going on. Is that one this or the, you know, that's what that is. So now with the sun and moon at 22 of Aries, and this is a very assertive position. So if you're born with the sun in, say, 20 some degrees of Cancer, Capricorn, or Libra, you know, one of the other cardinal signs, you're going to feel the effect of this new moon.
Mm-hmm.
And like for instance, I'm born with the sun at like 26 degrees of Libra. So I'll feel this in some way, somewhat, shape, or form, okay? Which for me, it'll be a reflection of the self. But the other but is that in the sky right now, as the sun and moon move to these 20-some degrees of Aries, Pluto is at 26 degrees of Capricorn. And so when you are, say, Aries or Libra, and Pluto is in this position at 26 of Capricorn, this means that there is some kind of, you'd feel this force of change affecting you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Pluto is the planet of transition and transformation. And it Pluto makes us become what we need to become. So when Pluto is forming a square or a box to a significant planet, you feel squeezed on some level to take things to the next level. And of course, with Pluto in Capricorn, it's going to have an immense effect on business, government, all of that.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Mm. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens on this new moon with this stellium in Aries squaring Pluto, because we're talking about three planets.
And when is this again?
This is Sunday evening,
the
11th. So this is where the new moon hits, Sunday evening. And so be ready to make a commitment to yourself.
I have been saying that to quite a few clients lately.
And the other thing that, going back into last year, when we perceived that we were at the height of COVID, you remember something, and I know, Audrey, you remember, I said this frequently, that this is going to end. And when it does, don't be lying around, you know, wondering what you're going to do. Be ready to hit the ground running. I said that so many times on so many shows last year. And if you're not ready to hit the ground running at this point, you better get your track shoes on, because things are opening up fast. And this is something that we did talk about on prior shows, that all of a sudden it would just look like COVID didn't exist. And this is where we're headed.
Yay.
And so we sort of took some people, not us, some people sort of took a year off, whether it was forced, whether it was their business, family matters, but things are getting ready to rock and roll. And you're going to go from first into sixth gear. Be ready. And this Aries new moon is really going to trigger that.
All right.
Okay. So anyway, get
I'm
ready
excited.
For this. And any new moon is about new beginnings and fresh starts, new emotional fresh starts. Anything you want to know about the, with the Pluto squaring the moon, it's about clearing obstacles. You know, we're going to knock things down and get them out of the way.
Make it happen.
Yes. So anyway, you have an interesting observation about people and what's going on with their headspace, and something very pertinent that you want to talk about tonight.
There is something that I want to talk about, and I want to talk about it because I don't think that it has been talked about. And if it was just one person, it would be one thing. But it's been, at this point, quite a few people that are having a experience, and I've been assisting with it. And luckily, thank goodness, all of them are pretty much on the other side of it. But I'm curious, and if anybody out there is watching while we're here live on the show, you can type in and ask me any questions about this. But it was, how long ago? About 3 years, no, two years-ish, between 2 and 3 years ago, I had my first client that came in, and they came in, and the thing that they were presenting was that they were hearing voices in their head that was wanting them to do something that they didn't want to do. And this person had been to a psychiatrist. They had not had any luck, and somebody referred them to me. And fortunately, we were able to deal with it and literally stop the voices. And she was able to go back into life and be much better. And then just recently, I've had quite a few clients that are coming in, and it's like the voices are saying to do something, like not just that they don't want to do, but violent things. And it's scary. You know, it's really terrifying. And, you know, it's kind of rather shocking, because you have your own mind, and we all have that little voice in our head that's going all the time. And we know that voice. It's like our inner voice. And it's that voice is like, oh, I got to go get some groceries. I've got to do this. Oh, my goodness, I don't want to be late for that. Or we're talking in our voice about people or whatever. I mean, we all have that inner voice. That's that thing that's guiding us and leading us around, either consciously or unconsciously. But then when it is something that is not your own consciousness, it's not your own thing. And it's like, it's something that is not, like all of the people that I've worked with, they're not violent and they don't aspire to this kind of behavior. And so luckily they've been able to come in and we've been able to work through it. And it is a process to work through it. It's not like, oh yeah, here, let me hypnotize you and it's fixed. Right. It's a process for them to own their own mind with it again. So I just wanted to say, if there's anybody out there that's experiencing that, it's probably not that you're crazy. It's something that is going on, and it could have something to do with all of the things that are going on now with everything that we have all been experiencing, because it has been an insanely difficult, not just moment, it's been an insanely difficult period of time. And when you go through something that is really challenging for an extended period of time, you know, our mind can do weird things. And then I don't know if it's also possibly an energetic thing, because you have to remember this experience that we're all having, it's not just us in this human experience, it's also an energetic for everyone. And there's energies that are going on. This is not empty space between us and you. It's filled with information. It's filled with all kinds of things. So I don't know exactly what it is, but I have been helping all of these people to get on the other side of it, and the voices stop. The message is they finish it, and it's a done thing. So I just want to say that and put it out there in case anybody feels like they're alone in this, because of a couple of the people that I worked with, it was like, I feel so alone. I don't know anybody who's had an experience like this. And so I just want you to know, if that is happening with you, there are solutions and you're not alone. Okay. That's what I wanted to share with you all. And Nick and I are here for so many reasons, but we're also clinical hypnotherapists. I'm a spiritual practitioner and I come from a lot of science. So there's all these solutions for things that are going on that are no longer working. And look, there's a emergency vehicle right in time for that. So that's what I wanted to share.
Right.
Do you have anything you want to add to it?
Well, you know, when people go through that, there are a lot of questions and sort of assumptions, you know, self-diagnostics. And, you know, I've done energy work on some of these people that you've sent my way. And I can tell you that it's not spirits and it's not aliens. You know, it's within the person. My viewpoint, the common denominator of those people that I've worked on that you've sent me, is that they were experiencing some form of depression to various degrees.
Yeah.
Okay. And one of those individuals actually had alcohol issues, mm-hmm. which we know that, you know, that can create a lot of problems on so many levels.
Yeah.
Okay. But there are times with females that it can also be hormonal too.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Because there are different forms of, there's different levels of hormonal reactions and depression.
Yeah.
So,
well, one of the people that you worked with had a very open crown chakra as well. Did that have anything to do with it?
Well, it does, but it's not like something was getting in. You know, it's not like entities were getting in.
Okay.
Because, you know, for me, as much as a metaphysician as I am, you know, I'm still the skeptic. When people present things to me, and I know what, I've seen possessions and all those things go on. I know what that looks like. And it doesn't look like, you know, what was presented.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And also I've worked on people with multiple personality disorder too. I know what that looks like. And those circumstances don't look like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it really, for some of those people, as we, you know, this is not meant to be tongue in cheek, you know, just make the voices stop, you know, that kind of thing.
And that's the process of it, honestly. Yeah. And it is a process.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So,
and so much of it, when you dig deep into the depression, which is normally repressed anger, all right, attached to anger, you're going to find fear. So something has been conditioned in there that is sort of enhancing or suggesting the fear. So it's complex. It's extremely complex. But as Audrey said, you know, if you or someone you know is experiencing this, you know, we can lend a hand and improvement.
Yeah.
When people are experiencing what they, you know, say are the voices.
And you don't need to be in person for it as well. We do Zoom everywhere. We don't literally Zoom everywhere. Well,
sometimes we do.
We're Zooming to you.
Yep.
Okay.
On a different note, are we done with that?
I think so.
So I want to share with you, and you folks know, we're pretty open. We're pretty transparent about what goes on. And you know that I've worked very closely personally with Dr. Kimberly Bennett, Dr. Michael McGuire, and of course, Brandon Fravel, who was on, who I work with in training. And, you know, a month ago yesterday, or the first day I actually began, I started this different food regimen. And I what it takes, because I've done extremely well. And at this point, I've lost 11 pounds in those 4 weeks. But over the weekend with Easter, I allowed myself to have foods that were not part of the regimen. And when I ate certain things that are not part of it, and not a ton of it, but enough, it's amazing how your body recognizes the difference as to what is not really correct in your system. And so as of tomorrow, I will strictly go back on that for another month and bring that back around again, because I've noticed with certain things that I experimented with that felt like that felt like that. And your body gets to a point where it's your body talking and saying, hey, we've been doing this for a while. What are you putting in here? You know? And as I said to another client on Monday, that, you know, when you get to a point where you're more sensitive, you're a fine-tuned piece of machinery. And all of a sudden, you can't turn around and put 87 octane in a sports car.
Right.
You know, you got to put good fuel in there. And that's what I've done. But I must tell you, in the 4 weeks that I've been doing this, which is a lifestyle change, it's not a diet. I feel better. I look better. There's different things that I've done. And I can really see the difference over the last month. So thank you to Dr. Bennett for recommending the food regimen that I'm on, and the support from Dr. McGuire and Brandon in all of this. And of course you, Audrey, because you're always very supportive of what people do.
Yay.
Yeah. So anyway, but yep, feeling good, and we'll continue the process. And my goal that when I get to a month from now, around May the 6th, that instead of being down 11 pounds, I'm down in the low 20s, between 20 and 22. And I have every intention of doing that.
Oh yeah.
Now, when it comes to intention, And this is something that, Audrey, you're more of an expert on intention than I am. You use that language more than I do in working with your clients. You know, back in the end of January, when we did the first Focus on Success class, I picked up the journal, the Success Journal, mm-hmm. that I do every night. You see me doing that. And when you journal and you write affirmations to create what you want, and I'm not going to get all into all my those details, but it is amazing when you're not just writing the events of the day. When you're affirming what you're creating, and you do it by written word in cursive handwriting, which is an ideomotor response to the subconscious, it is amazing how your brain will respond, and like magic, the magic of the mind will manifest and create what you're saying that you already have. Mm-hmm. So when you write affirmations, you have to make sure that you're writing them as you are that, or you have that. Mm-hmm. And although not really written word, but in 2 weeks, Saturday, April 17th, we're presenting the workshop, the Saturday workshop.
That's going to be good.
On the vision board. And I must tell you, when it comes to the vision board, and I'm being a little dogmatic about this, I have other clients that have done vision boards, and people, I don't know who their instructors were, but they were not properly informed on the right way to create, let's say, not the right way, but the most effective way to get the maximum result out of your vision board.
Mm-hmm.
And people have reported back to me, well, I was told this and I was told that. And they're very limiting, and a vision board should not be limiting at all. It should really be all-encompassing of everything that you want to create in your life. Now, if you don't want it, don't put it on the vision board. But we will see. If you're interested in the vision board workshop, get in touch with us because we have positions available. Now, let's come back a little bit more to the near future, not the distant future. This coming Saturday, Audrey, you are presenting the crystal artwork workshop.
Yep.
And you've got to see, Audrey's going to show a few pieces. And we
are
going to.
These are some of my older pieces.
We're going to talk about Audrey's artwork is so cool, so individual.
This is an older piece. This was actually a series. This was the second chakra plate. And then I have over here, what were you saying, Nick? I'm just interrupting.
Audrey's work is so beautiful, and she sold a number of pieces. But here in Agora Hills, there's an art studio, and the woman saw pictures of her pieces and said that Audrey should be showing.
You can't see that it's green.
It doesn't come off as
green. It's a green screen.
Because the green screen, it comes off as gray.
But it's very green and very sparkly.
Very olive green.
And it's got all different kinds of stones in it. So those are two examples of more detailed ones. And then for something just very easy, plain, and simple, this was one that I just played with. It's fun. Oh, you can see the light in there. And it's just something I played with. It's got a big piece. It's not a lot to do.
It's like this so you can see how three... No, the other way.
Oh, this way.
No.
Oh, this way.
No. Like that, so you can see
like
how three-dimensional that is. That's the really cool thing, because Audrey does paint the canvases, but when she puts the artwork on, it's not just flat pieces that are mashed in there. She stacks them.
And then we're going to have a whole bunch of mica, and mica is one of my favorite things to play with. And I've got a piece that's up somewhere on my website or my I think it's my Facebook page where you can see mica's fun because you get it and it's a big slab kind of thing of it. And then it's almost right. Like you're ripping it apart. And it's very, for those of you that appreciate this, it's very satisfying. So you're ripping it and it's making this like sound. And it's like you want to get these big pieces like really thin. And so it's just fun to play with. And then when you're placing them, you can just do anything with it. So you don't have to be like a detailed artist. You just play and right. You just slap them on there, and it's fun. And the mica is really nice also because it's very kind of shiny and it picks up the colors from around, so it makes for a lovely piece. And people can come in and bring in their own canvas, or like if you want to put stones around a frame, like a picture frame, or you know, anything that you look at that's like, all right, this don't like it the way it looks anymore, maybe throwing some stones on it in some way, shape, or form would be fun. You can bring them in. So we make it a lot of fun. It's going to be this coming Saturday from 1 to 4. And if you don't get the piece done in time, we are leaving it open where you can come back and create on your own. Right. So it's going to be a fun afternoon. Yeah.
Right. And you know, the pieces that Audrey uses, a lot of them are small, tumbled or rough.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could see on some of the pieces Audrey uses crystals and minerals that are a little more substantial. And so because we are talking about crystals tonight, we're actually going to show and demonstrate a few pieces that are not the norm. The first one is this is colemanite. And colemanite looks like quartz, but it's not. It's denser. And
the crystal class is 50 for the day. That includes snacks. It includes all the materials, canvas, except for the crystals. So it's 50 plus however much the crystals are. And to be clear, our crystals are really reasonably priced, and you can make a great piece for not a whole lot.
Right. So colemanite is fascinating for people that live in California, because this comes from Death Valley. And, you know, the first inclination is to think that, okay, well, we just go out there and get it. But colemanite is a state protected stone. So even though it's plentiful, if you take it out of the desert and a park ranger sees you do that, you pay a hefty fine.
Really?
Yes. Yes, and I have a huge piece of colemanite
underneath
my healing table, which is extremely heavy.
The mighty colemanite. I've got one on the table behind us, behind this green screen. I love it. Colemanite's great.
And then another stone that comes from California, which is Owens Lake up in Inyo County, is pink halite. Now, you see how it's very cubical in the way it's made. This is a form of salt, and it exists on the bottom of the lake, and it's soft and spongy. And when you bring it up out of the lake and put it in the sun, it dries and hardens into these formations.
I love how they're like those square shapes. It's just right. So cool looking.
Yep, that's the salt. And it does have a little bit of a briny smell to it. Halite is very good when used on the stomach. It has a calming effect on the stomach. And even because it's pink, I refer to it as the crystalline Pepto-Bismol because of the calming effect and the relaxing effect that it has on the stomach and digestion. So that is a California stone. And then another one that we like to show, which does come from Utah, but also from California. This is selenite. You show it this way, you can see it has density, but it's very transparent, very translucent, and it does look like sheets of ice. So selenite is probably the most healing mineral on the planet. I work with various forms of selenite, and it's used in treating cancer patients. And selenite
look
is where
you can see how clear it is through there, where you can see the crystal behind it.
Right. Well, that's what it's called, Utah iceberg selenite. It's like frozen water.
It's like, it reminds me of, I always joke around. What's the name of that movie? Where they had the ice queen and she was behind the crystals. It looked very much like this. Oh. Who knows the name of that movie? They had the whole ice queen and she was behind the stuff that looked just like this. It was fascinating.
Not sure. When I see our background, you know, on our screen, it reminds me of Superman's lair back when Christopher Reeves was Superman, you know, the quartz. Utah iceberg selenite does come from California as well as Utah. Selenite is a member of the gypsum family. So if you ever buy any form of selenite, I know people like to clean their crystals. Do not get this wet because it will melt and deform.
Same thing with the halite, right?
Yeah, you don't want to get the halite wet.
And the other thing that is really nice about this, you can get a big piece of it for very little. This is one of the least inexpensive.
Yeah, a piece like this. This is $65.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually well priced.
And one of
our beautiful decorator pieces.
Oh my God, yeah. When you put them up on a lucite stand and just display them, it's gorgeous. And especially when light hits it or goes through it. And we have a source for this that can get us just massive sheets.
Narnia. That's it, Jen. Thank you. It's that movie Narnia. And she's like the...
Okay.
Okay. You know what I'm realizing? Do the dioptase next. Because you're not going to be able to see it so well with the green background.
Oh.
I just realized that.
Okay. So I'll have to protect it.
Nope.
See, so because of the green screen, the dioptase comes off looking blue. And it's really emerald green.
It's gorgeous.
And this is hard to get and rare to get. This is a heart stone. And again, if you're looking and watching this, this looks like sapphires. But it really is green, a very rich green, like emeralds. This is a moderate piece on calcite, and then this very special piece that we got, and again, it's going to show off as blue, not green, is this is an incredible specimen.
It really is. That's beautiful.
Of dioptase. And you would have to see this in person.
You know what we'll do? We're going to post some pictures of these tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll put them up on the Facebook page so you can see them.
Newmont Center Facebook page.
And we got four. We received four specimens of the dioptase the other day, and two are gone already.
Yeah.
Because people get that it's hard to get. Then, if keeping with the theme of the heart, this is danbarite. All right, and it is pink. It's a very soft pink, and it's very striated, and the dioptase that we just showed is very much like a fairy stone. It brings joy and bliss to the heart, but this energizes the heart, the physical heart, not just the heart chakra, and helps people to see clearly into their heart.
Hey, Jen, that's one for you.
So, when you get it, there's a lot of typical heart stones that are either pink or green, like rose quartz, aventurine, fluorite, moonstone. But there's a strong stone for the heart called morganite, all right? But danbarite is like morganite on steroids. Mm-hmm. It is really powerful. And also, danbarite, if you're having liver issues...
Keep it in your bra.
Yeah. Danbarite helps clear the liver, too, and help detoxify the liver and healing sessions. All right.
All right.
So this a couple of great heart stones. Then
this one is hiding.
All right. So this is another rare stone, and this is Neptunite. See, like the planet Neptune. And
this one is the blue color.
It does have some blue in, but the key is the black. Those black formations are the Neptunite. And this comes from north central California, San Benito County. This is, as I understand, there isn't any more left. Whatever is there, dealers have, but there are no more Neptunite mines. So whenever I can get my hand on these, I do. Neptunite is a more of a spiritually connecting stone. But it's also very good on soft tissue. If you're working on the body, you know, ligaments, joints. And also, it has an amazing effect on people with jaw issues and jawline issues. Hmm. And then the bones that, you know, are that the teeth are in.
So people with, like, locked jaw and...
TMJ.
TMJ and that sort
or
of
TMI.
Thing. And TMJ because it did 2 TMI.
Exactly. All right. So another stone that we bought a whole flat of is called vanadinite. Now, vanadinite does come from Arizona, but it looks brown. And when you get, and we brought a couple specimens out to show tonight, when you bring out the Moroccan vanadinite sitting on barite.
Back it up just a smidge. It's too close. It loses the... What were you saying?
This is very lustrous. This is a second chakra stone. In fact, vanadinite promotes conservancy and money. All right.
So for those of you that have done too much online shopping over this period of time, that one's a beautiful piece.
Yeah, this is gorgeous. And the stones, the gems of vanadinite, when they're well formed, do look like cubes.
That's beautiful. You can't see the vibrance of it and how it's like a really deep, rich, dark orange.
Yeah, like a burnt orange.
Yeah, it's stunning. You know, when we do this next time, we're going to have to take away this green screen so we can see the colors a little better.
Yep. Just have it where there's no screen behind us because it does affect it. Then, and again, the labradorite. I don't know if the labradorite is going to show up.
Oh, man. I hope it does show up. You show this one, and I'll show the other one.
Okay. So, yeah, it shows very well. This is labradorite, and labradorite comes from various places in the world, and it has this iridescence to it. It's not translucent. It's solid, And Labradorite is a combination of some kind of meteor that hit the planet and combined with Earth-based materials. And it really does, when you see it in real life, it really does give off this green, blue, gray iridescence.
And you can see the blue in it, but you can't see the green as he's showing it, obviously.
See a little bit of it. It's a deep olive green.
And that's a stunning piece.
Oh, yeah. This is gorgeous.
Labradorite is one of my favorite stones. This one is a very similar kind of thing. And you can't see the shine in it, but it's see where it catches the light, like right there?
Right.
All of that is this beautiful shades of green, and it's really beautiful. But again, we can't see it with the green screen.
Well, and let's talk about labradorite, because it's very important in spiritual growth, but also in the meditative processes. Labradorite truly opens up your third eye into other dimensions. In fact, when I have meditated with labradorite, it creates sort of a time jump where you can hear what's going to happen, you know, like a second or so before it actually happens. Hmm. Yeah, it's very fourth dimensional.
Wouldn't it be nice if you could put it on and meditate on what's going to happen around the 11th?
So, you know, and labradorite comes in rough form. It comes in polished forms like that. I've had labradorite eggs and spheres that you can meditate with. Mm-hmm. And you just seem to, with labradorite, you seem to just blend into the woodwork and just, you know, sort of melt with it into a lovely meditative state.
Yeah,
and it takes you into very deep, beautiful meditations. It makes up very nicely in jewelry, like in pendants and in rings. And also, labradorite is substantial enough that I've been in homes that their kitchen counters are labradorite.
I would love that.
Oh my God, yeah. Well, if you have a labradorite kitchen counter and you're cooking, it's completely going to raise the vibration of the food. You talk about people eating your dinner that you've made saying, oh my God, this tastes heavenly. Well, that truer words couldn't be said because it would be otherworldly. And you know, there's not a lot of stones on Earth that have been affected by or are extraterrestrial. Like, for instance, we don't have a piece of it here, but, you know, Moldavite is a meteor, a massive meteor that hit Moldavia, which is the, you know, in Czechoslovakia. And that is a olivine or olive green colored stone that is very translucent. And most of the time you see it rough, but when it's in polished jewelry,
it's gorgeous.
It is so gorgeous, especially when set in a rhodium white gold. But it's quirky. It's a quirky stone. It's very, very easy to lose it. Now, one other stone that we're going to talk about also comes from Owens Lake. And again, there's green in it. It's called Trona. Yeah, you can see some of the green in there.
Actually, what looks brown is actually green.
Right. And Trona does come from down in the water, and it has a very calming effect. Where the halite that we showed earlier, you would put on your stomach to calm an upset stomach or to quiet it down, or mind chatter, Trona goes over the heart, and it has a very relaxing, anti-worrying effect.
Mm-hmm.
This is so if you hold Trona, you know, you put Trona on someone in a healing session, it just brings the heart energy down to what I guess you would say is to manageability. And it's very much an anti-worry kind of stone. Now this, the Trona, is hard like this. It's not salt like the pink halite, which is spongy under the water. If you go into Owens Lake in Inyo County and want to dig up Trona, you have to bring sharp tools with you.
Actually, the guy that we get this from, our supplier, he was telling us how he goes to the lake and he's got to go into the water, and he has a big pick and shovel, and he sucks it up out of the water. And, you know, he's telling us how he does that. And then when you first have it out of the water, I guess it smells somewhat briny.
Very briny. Yeah,
and actually, when we first got it and I put it here in my office, I was working and I was like, what is that smell? But it has, I guess you must have had it stored or something because it doesn't smell anymore. But
no, it's fine now.
But it's a neat stone. I've got it here in my office for safekeeping.
Right. Yeah, we had several of those in there.
Why didn't you grab that beautiful one up there that we got from him too? This one's not going to be for sale, but it's such a pretty, pretty stone.
Oh, you're going to show it, but you can't have it.
I know, right? So I saw this in his truck, and I was like, gypsum. Oh my gosh, I have to have it. Look at this.
It's like a piece of snow.
It's like a cloud.
It's a form of gypsum.
And it's just all these little tiny, delicate pieces. I don't know if you can see it.
Very fragile.
It's really sweet, and it's just got such a nice little energy to it. And when you look at it in person, it's like all these little needle points. So it's very, as you said, fragile. So we'll put it delicately right back there.
And then when we, we work, and in fact, this isn't what Audrey does, but Audrey, she does healing work too, as I do, and we make the chakra plates, the healing discs.
Yeah, these are some of my plates.
Yep.
So when I'm working with a client, sometimes when we're doing hypnosis, I'll put the stones on them to assist in the process, whatever it is we're doing. So that would be more of a first chakra plate. Foot chakra plate.
Yeah, this goes at the feet. So the darker the stone, the lower in the body that it goes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Show the one with the sparkling hematite. That's pretty. It's called specular hematite. So the plate itself has whatever properties, and then all the different stones on it, the way that you position the stones makes a big impact.
So this plate, specular hematite, comes from from upper Michigan. And the guy that we get these from glazes it. So it's naturally rough like this. And so what's in here is mica, hematite, like rainbow hematite. And then it's hard to see, but there are some red veins in there, and that's garnet. And that becomes specular hematite. And of course, this also is a foot chakra plate. That centerpiece is obsidian, and she's got red tiger eye on there. And
so it's very good for grounding.
Yep.
So if you find yourself getting too like zippity doo-dah, you can actually just use it like if at your desk. If you find yourself, getting a little too flighty, you can put it at your feet.
Right. Exactly. So there's a lot of different things that we do with the crystals. We don't just put loose crystals on people. I mean, but those chakra plates organize the vibration. So when you have a centerpiece and then the pieces that offset and oppose each other creates a vortex in the center of the piece. And the vortex is a clockwise pattern, which enhances the spin of the chakra.
Talk about this that we both wear. Let me see if I can get myself there. See this, well, actually two things. One, this one here is one of my favorites, and Nick can talk to you about it. It's called
That's a Herkimer diamond.
Herkimer diamond. And I love Herkimer diamonds. So all these little ones here and this guy here are Herkimer diamonds. Nick, what are Herkimers good for?
Well, here, let me bring it down again. So there are these patterns that look like little diamonds or little barrels. And this is a double Herkimer, okay? And these, the real pieces that come from upstate New York, Herkimer County, are called Herkimer diamonds. Now, this formation comes from Brazil, and it will also come from Tibet, but they can't call them Herkimer diamonds. They just call them Herkimer quartz because of the formation that's there. But one of the best things that a Herkimer diamond does is it polishes the third eye. When Audrey talks about driving with a muddy windshield, the Herkimer diamond creates clarity of the third eye.
Right.
Okay.
So then last and final, I want you to talk about these guys. You okay, wear one, so, I wear one.
All right. So this is sentient plasma quartz, and sentient plasma quartz comes from the Colombian Andes. They're very, very clear because they're formed in the glaciers, in the ice flows. They're not formed in down in the earth in the caves where the dirt would get in there. And sentient plasma quartz is 97% quartz, which is the highest percentage of quartz of any quartz on planet. And about by the Gemological Society, they were proclaimed as a semi-precious stone. So they're seen as very valuable by the rock people, not the metaphysical people. But the sentient plasma quartz completely raises consciousness, clears indecision. It brings out the best in you. And it is, for those of you that know crystals, sentient plasma quartz is a higher vibration than Russian Lemurian quartz and phenakite. So it really opens up the third eye and the crown chakra. And the cool thing is, in the United States, we have these exclusively, that the supplier really believes in us. And they have them in Japan. He deals with Japan. So you can either get them from us or get them, you know, in Japan. And they come small like this. And they also come, we've sold great big wands. And they are expensive. You know, most of the time, they price out at $16 a gram. We do get special deals on them periodically because of our relationship with the supplier. But we are very thrilled and honored to be able to have these and say that we are exclusive. And the funny thing is, there's been times when I've put pieces up on YouTube and I've had people write in like criticizing and saying, oh, that's not that and that's not this. And these people really don't know what they're talking about. In fact, our supplier actually wrote in and told those individuals to take a hike, basically. So we're thrilled about that.
Well, we need to be wrapping this up. How does the time fly so quick?
Because we're having fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, as we do wrap up, you know, enjoy the new moon this Sunday. If you'd like more information about the workshops that we have this Saturday and the following Saturday, crystal artwork with Audrey, this Saturday the 10th, and the vision board workshop on Saturday the 17th, you can call the center at 818-865-8770, or you can call Audrey directly at
818-665-6165. Or you can email me at anewmont@gmail.com.
Or me at nnewmont@gmail.com.
And for all of our events that are coming up, you can go to newmontcenter.net, and we have a calendar page. And I have my own website. And I got to tell you, as you're getting back to what we were saying earlier, when we're going through all of these things that we're all going through, I have a resource page on there that, you know, if you want to get away from watching news and whatnot and you want to watch something a little bit more, you know, soft and interesting or informational or whatever, I have a whole research page of people to see. And if you're looking to get a little bit deeper with your meditation, I've got a meditation page as well. So you can check those out if you'd like.
And we, Audrey and I, realized that over the past year, you know, literally the past 13 months, there's been a lot of distractions. And we want to say to those of you that faithfully and continue watch us, thank you so much. I know it's very easy to get pulled in a lot of different directions, but we appreciate you. And we see those of you that do write into us on our Facebook pages. So we will continue to be here for you.
Hi, Vanessa.
In whatever capacity that is. And also thank you to our producer, Ronan, you know, for the past year and a half of being here with us too. Anyway, we've got to go. So have a great week. I'm Nick Newmont.
Audrey Newmont.
And you have been watching Mainstream Metaphysics right here on LA Talk Radio. And remember, take care of yourself. Take care of each other, and we will see you next week back here.
Have a good one.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
You're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick and Audrey Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.